I've been asked two questions a lot in recent months. More than two, but especially two. The first one I have not answered. The second one I gladly answer. The first question I've been asked more times than I care to think about, locally, nationally, and internationally, is, what happened at Andrews? I'm learning new things by way of an answer to that question every day. I'm not even looking for it. It just floats across my desk and oozes out of the walls. And one of these days, when I have much less to do than I have now, I may try to reflect upon it in a public, even published way. But right now, I don't know how to answer that question accurately and fairly and with Christian courtesy. And so I try not to answer it. I just don't know how to do it well. Now the second one is this. Why did you decide to return to your position under the circumstances? That I've been asked just as many times. And some have shaken their heads. What were you thinking about? I mean, life is short. I can answer that second question because the accurate answer comes from within. So I tell you why I decided to return. Number one, I have a great deal of affection for Andrews. A lot. I attended college in a place that didn't push me too hard academically. I had grown up in Denmark and I was pushed hard in the matriculation program before university. That's when I learned to speak German and French and study science and all those literature things that have stayed with me for life. College was okay, lots of fun, but Andrews shaped me for university studies. So I have a lot of affection for this place, personally. And that probably is at least a third of the reason. Number two, I decided because I have a lot of confidence in Andrews. This place has far more strength than we realize, and far more unity of purpose than we say. Far more. Probably about another third of my reason for deciding fits right in here. I have a lot of affection and I have a lot of confidence. And the third reason, I have very great hope in the future of Andrews. There is more potential waiting here than most of us dare think about. I happen to believe that leadership is more of an art than a science and requires much more imagination than analysis skills. And if you let your imagination go, there is enormous potential here. Great hope. I had three visits in my office the last 7 or 10 days. People just wandered in. They confirmed these three reasons. First one was a former university administrator in an Adventist university on another continent. He said, I just want to thank you. Now, I know we've had an affiliation there and sent teachers over there and stuff. I said, yeah, we've done that, and you're very welcome. But he said, No, I don't mean that. I want to thank you for being Andrews. Not what you've done, what you are. That's why I came to thank you. I said, what are we? He said, you are the inspiration that made us what we are. And we wouldn't have become without you. So we talked a bit, and he went on his way. A few days later, a current college administrator in an international Adventist college somewhere else in the world came to see me. And he said, I want to thank you. I said, what have you done for you? Now, I used to work for that college, but long before Andrews. I said, what has Andrews done for you that you want to thank me? He said, we have been in trouble for years. Ever since I used to work with them while I was working on the other coast. We have been in trouble. Our enrollment has dropped. Our budgets have dropped. And we have been out of focus. But now we are going to affiliate with Andrews and collaborate. And we have put your name underneath ours. And the enrollment is going up. And we're going to figure it out. So when are you going to see us and just put your Andrew's name right next to ours? We know we're going to make it because this is Andrew's. Happened this week. The third visit was from a current college administrator, president, in one of our U.S. colleges. Came to say hello. We talked and talked and talked and talked. And finally he said, you know, this thing that happens at Andrews matters to us because, and then he used the F word, flagship. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was a word we used and no one else wanted to use it because it seemed a little self-serving. He came right out and said, you may not believe that, and we quarrel once in a while, but really, if in doubt, we look over there to Michigan to see what you guys are doing. This is the flagship, he said. Oh, I'll pass it on to him. So that's what people told me, and that sums up in narrative way why I made that decision. I have a great deal of affection for the university, I have a lot of confidence in Andrews, and I see potential awaiting Andrews in the future. Now, that's up there where the airplanes are flying. What about down to the earth where we are living? You know, we are doing all sorts of stuff on campus. Let me say a few words of a practical nature. And maybe we'll fly again before I quit. About planning at Andrews, excuse me, and then a couple of words about searches, because that's a bit disconcerting. A little bit about planning at Andrews. There's been lots of questions, and I've tried to answer them from my perspective. How do these planning fit together? Let me try to explain it this way. We have a leadership campaign for Andrews. That's tied in to my great hope for the future of Andrews. Legacy of leadership, we call it. Of all our planning, this part has the longest time frame. Think about that again. It has the longest time frame, not the shortest. It began in 2003. In fact, it began in 1999, but we got derailed with some other things. And then 2001, so it really began in 2003, and we're talking about a kind of a 10-year plan for the Legacy of Leadership campaign. So it stretches through several strategic planning committees and through the A team and a few other teams like that. It's a long perspective. that we are taking here. We had to do it this way because to try to make it possible to attract support for Andrews, we had to think about current gifts and planned gifts and long-term gifts. This is Andrews for the future. In this Legacy of Leadership campaign, we began by looking back to 1959, when some brethren finally concluded their deliberations that there should be a university here. They probably began thinking about that a little before. I don't know how long it took them to make that decision, but let's say 1955, at which time our church had 1 million members. It now has 15 million. So I said to our friends and supporters, let's look back to when Andrews was established. That's a long way. A university serving the world church have 1 million members, and now we have 15 million members. What kind of a look does that require us to take? Long look. Legacy of Leadership is looking far. What drives that Legacy of Leadership campaign? A vision. A vision. Oh, there's planning built underneath it, but it's really driven by a vision. A 10-year long vision with a future yet attached to that. It was that vision in Chicago 2004 which led 30 people to say, yeah, that sounds really interesting. We can align ourselves with that. Talk to us some more and make it practical. It was nothing more than a vision. I only said to them, look, there was 1 million members, there are 15 now, what are we going to do about that at Andrews? Let's imagine what we could do. And they said, well, that's interesting. And we've been talking about that on and off that way. Strategic planning is shorter term. 5 years, the current plan was from 2001 to 2006. It's time to freshen it up. And Duane McBride's committee is doing that. I'm very glad. We need to have a fresh strategic planning committee when NCA comes back in about 3 years' time or 2 years' time, 2008-09. And it's faculty driven. What do you think our strategy should be as we match our resources in the university with the opportunities outside? Shorter time frame. The A team, the shortest time frame. How do we manage from year to year? Almost a year at a time, with maybe 3 years out. How do we manage our remuneration system, which is not adequate? Working capital, which is not adequate. Depreciation, which is short. Debt management, well, by most standards, it's okay, but it's not okay with us. We want to manage it better. And things like that, shorter term. So that's the planning, and that's how I see it. A vision driving the long-term strategic faculty thinking, moving us down the next 3, 4, 5 years, and the A-team, how do we manage as we go from year to year? Now, on top of that, we have some search processes going on. And this is just to tell you that the search process for the provost, and some of you are involved, has met twice. We have 4 names, I think, and resumes that the committee thought is something we could start with. I don't know if it's satisfied that we have really scoured the land, but these are people from other institutions and other places, and the committee said, yeah, they're worth looking at. Now let's get some references to see why we're looking for still other names. But that is going that way. We've had 2 meetings. There's another one tomorrow. Yes. The search committee for the chief financial officer is not going quite so quickly. We met twice. There are some names, but the committee really is ambitious and would like to look some more. So when you're talked to, respond, please. The seminary dean search has met twice. We met just before I came here for about an hour and a half. and some names and some resumes are emerging. But it will keep meeting. I'm hoping that that might come together the next few weeks. The College of Arts and Sciences has interviewed people, and I'm waiting for the response. And the School of Business, I think, is just starting up its search. This is for leadership. There are probably other searches. Is it good or bad? Well, I'm always sorry to lose good and dear colleagues. I like people, and so in that sense, I don't like searches. On the other hand, we think about Andrews University, and we want to thank the people who have worked with us. Achievements are clear all around us. We are standing in a School of Business. This school has, after 10 years of Gibson's management, very tight and principled academic standards, which is something that was needed. It needs other things, like faculty people coming in, but things have been achieved, and we celebrate those, and then we look through the searches for people who can help push to the next level of achievement. So that is how we do it, and that's where we are, and I want invite you to look at Rebecca May's page, which I think is under news, and then you have changes or something. Transitions, and under faculty and staff, transitions, under searches, and there are the search committees, okay, the names. Please look them up. If you think of a name or have a passion or something you would like to funnel in there, you know exactly who they are and what they're dealing with, and please be helpful. It is extremely important for Andrews to get good people. People make this place. The only thing that really make it are people, so that's important. Let me conclude by making a last statement. Maybe I'll take up in the plane a little bit again to inspire you to believe in Andrews. Yesterday, I met with a gentleman who is helping articulate the case for the campaign that we are starting, the Legacy of Leadership campaign. It's a person who does that for a living, and we want the best to present to our donors. So he met with me and asked a whole bunch of questions. And one of the questions he asked was an interesting one. Not why do you believe in Andrews, but why do you think your friends, our friends, Andrews' friends, believe in Andrews? Why would they do that? And what is it they believe in? I wasn't prepared for that question. So I said, time out. Let me think. And I thought back to the conversations I've had with these people. Oh, ever since I came to Andrews, but in an organized fashion, beginning in May 2004. And I asked myself, what was it that bonded them to each other and to Andrews? And as I think about it, I would say it was really one idea. They're all believers, Christians, and the one idea is that if you are a practicing, believing Seventh-day Adventist, you are a believer in education. That really was it. And it came out in the funniest ways. Some of them said, yeah, that's true. What about the academies? They were just thinking about all the education we have to be serious about once they discovered that if you really push our faith, our church, our Christian life together into one hard matter, like a nucleus, what is in there? There's faith and there's learning, and that's not just something we do in the classroom. That's something we believe in. And so when I said to these people, look what's happening to our faith. It's all over the world. Church is growing. 12 million, 13, 14, 15 million members. And if you count the kiddies in Sabbath school, it's about 20 million members now. And the kiddies need school. This tremendous growth. And I said to them, what about the education part of the nucleus? I said, by Charles, we have neglected that. We better do something about it. Or the faith will run off and grow and grow and grow. And the schools were built for 1 million members way back in 1959. We've got to do something about that. So it was a kind of a belief in the partnership, the essential partnership of Christian education with Christian faith in the Adventist Church. I'm glad I'm an Adventist for that reason. I could just be imagined to be another kind of Christian. I used to have some uncles who were Jehovah's Witnesses, and we used to have arguments in our house forever about what was the difference. Well, when you get sick, you are glad you're an Adventist who believes in education, medical education, blood transfusions, the whole works. My uncle died because he was a Jehovah's Witness. He would not get that treatment that is driven out of our commitment to knowledge. This is very important. Very important. It's a defining moment. And Andrews is one of the two poles of that defining moment. And it was the discovery that Andrews is that pole. And it needs to be developed to fulfill its role in this mix of faith and learning that I believe made our friends and supporters say, count us in. We'd like to do that. It's obviously important, and that's where we are precisely. We do not want a dumb church for our great-grandchildren. That's putting it bluntly. But one of them said to me, I'm interested in Andrews because my great-grandchildren are underway. I want to have a place that I can describe to them as very good, go there. I mean, in his living room. He's in his 80s, my great-grandchildren. I want a very good school. So please, would you mind? Make it that way? That's what people are saying. And that's why we're doing it. And probably that's why I decided to soldier on, as I told the board, together with you. Thank you very much. It's 6:15. We should probably talk about this sometime, or maybe next time we meet. What do you think? Shall we leave it at this for now?
Ron Whitehead. Ron and I work here.
You came all the way by somewhere. And Ron is the kind of guy who came to my office a year and a half ago and said, I have a full-time job at Andrews, but I'd like to do something more.
Oh, yeah.
I said, Ron, what is that going to cost me? He said, really nothing. I'll just do an extra job.
Yeah.
And I said, Ron, what do you have in mind? Oh, I want to do something for the kids, to connect them to Jesus while they study. I said, Ron, serious? He said, serious. You're on.
Yeah.
So now he's my conscience. Because all the time when we have a committee meeting, he says, have you forgot the religious part? Is Jesus in that committee? I mean, he puts it in a very simple language, and it's not really academic language, but I get the point. So,
I'm very academic. You know that.
So please send us away with this.
That's great. Hey, can we stand together? I think it's time for us to move. I mean, I respond to the thank you for opening the meeting. And a lot of us have been asking, why did how did you make that decision? And a lot of people in this room, we need to think about this university and rebinding committing to the mission and vision. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for leadership on this campus, not just the president, but others in this room. All of us have a sphere of influence. People look up to us, value our opinions. We pray, God, that we stay close to you and we catch a vision for where you want to take this university. Thank you. for them, to watch over them, protect them, keep them safe, like we pray for our own families. In your name, all the people said, Amen. Amen.